Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamati. Allah my Lord, His word Quran,
His word Quran.
Muhammad, Prophet.
Muhammad, Prophet.
Praise be upon,
praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IYB English Radio. Well, guess who's back? This is Youth Station, and we're so happy to be here once again with you guys. This is Asma, and with me I have
Brother Muhammad in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone, especially Sister Asma.
Thank you so much. How are you? How's everything?
Alhamdulillah. What about yourself?
Thank you.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, very long, actually. Yeah. Of course, things are not good as they used to be.
Yeah, of course.
But still, we're going. We're moving on.
There is no such thing as good or bad news. It's
exactly.
Just news.
Yeah.
And we have to make the best out of it. So there are ups and downs in life. We just have to make the best out of it. Yes.
You see, before the war, maybe sometime we had also some other wars, but they were not as excruciating as this one.
Exactly.
Well, usually war entails so many other concepts. One of them is the idea that who knows? Where is my future?
Exactly.
Maybe a second later, maybe even a minute later.
Yeah.
And maybe I would not be able to see tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you see, I personally don't see it in this manner. I personally see it as if we are in the war all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, from day in, day out, from morning till night, you're always fighting yourself.
Exactly.
Right? And this fight between yourself, your nafs, and your desires, sometimes people around you, sometimes enemies around you.
The choices you make.
Exactly. All of this is kind of like war
for
you, and you have to make decisions, right? But
to some certain degrees, when there's no war, when there's no sickness.
Basically, it's just maturity.
Yeah.
Like this war between haqq and batil, the truth and falsehood, it matures to a point whereby, yes, they're going to go fight face-to-face at once. They're going to reconcile, get back, you know, prepare themselves, get back on the battlefield. So this is an ongoing thing.
Exactly.
So we should never see ourselves in a state of so-called ceasefire, because I don't think there is such a state. I mean, if there was such a state, then why would Lebanon and Gaza be bombed even after a ceasefire? Why would Iran be bombed even after the ceasefire that was done after the 12-day war? I mean, all of this was in place. What happened
in Greektown? Highlight this statement. Actually, there is no ceasefire.
Yeah, there is no such thing. That's basically a tactic that, that the enemies use, because when they have no moral value, when they have no value for agreements, what kind of a ceasefire are you looking for? There's nothing that they agree upon. It's just on paper.
Speaking of the external ceasefire, I just remember the internal ceasefire. Well, there is no such a thing well. Like, for example, if you think there would be a moment at which you stop thinking about the things that you've done in your life, what is the right thing, what is the wrong thing, how to stay on the side, on the right track of things. And when we talk about these things, the first thing that might come into our head perhaps could be the idea of returning to ourselves.
Exactly, repentance.
Or repentance.
Exactly.
Which is so important.
I can remember one of our teachers, I think he was narrating from Ayatollah Dasghib, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same person who wrote Gunahani Kabire, The Greater Sins. Was it him? Yes, Dasghib. Yes, if I'm not wrong. So he was saying that the statement itself is completely true. If a day has passed and you feel no sense of war within you, you feel that no sense of restlessness, then know that something's wrong.
So the agitation must be there.
Oh yeah, it's not up to you, because shaitan is always attacking you.
Exactly.
There is always the whims and wishes. And when I mean shaitan, generally, everything.
Yeah.
So this is how you should see the world. Like, this is how it is. Either it's the actual jinn, shaitan, who does the whispering in the ears and whatever the case is. Or it's the whims and wishes. So if during the day, of course, there is going to be some time that you're going to have to make decisions, whether it be as small as getting up and sitting down, going to the bathroom, doing something else, cooking, washing the dishes. All of these are decisions.
Exactly.
Right?
And intentions. You have, for all of them, you have intentions.
Intentions, exactly. So all of this, if there is one small aspect whereby if one day goes by and you feel there is, you feel no restlessness, it's so calm and know that something's wrong, meaning that you've lost
somewhere. You must look at it as skeptically.
Exactly. So since I heard this from my teacher, even when a day passes by and even when I feel restless, I still feel that there is more things that I did not feel for. There is more restlessness that I should have felt that I didn't feel.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it gets to
this
the point.
Moral, if we get to the point of moral numbness, that's a huge disaster, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I remember when there was this person who came to Prophet Musa, and he was saying that, I don't pray.
Okay, what about keeping the story for after the break?
Sure, no problem.
We go for the break, and then we come back, and then I have something to address for the youth in 2026.
Oh, that's going to be a big thing.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Now you just mentioned your story. Continue with your story.
Yeah, so there was a story whereby a man came to Prophet Musa, Prophet Moses, and he was saying that I don't fast, I don't pray, I don't do any of the commandments that God has commanded me to do. And I still feel there is nothing, there is no adab on me, there is no punishment on me, there is no calamity on me. So what's this adab that you're talking about? So Prophet Moses, he contemplated, he couldn't answer. Then Allah gave revelation to Prophet Musa that this sense of not being punished itself is a punishment for him. I mean, you're so numb. I mean, when it comes to sins, then you know, there are different levels of nafs, nafs ammara and so on. Nafs al-lawwam and nafs
Could you give an equivalent for those things, for those people who do not know?
So
what
I'll just give a very simple analogy.
Yeah, just when an outline.
Yeah, so when you first commit a sin, right? Like if you see, for example, kids, they're so innocent. Oh my God, I love kids. Because you see the innocence in their face. The first time they lie, they're so restless. They can't pretend to not lie. Then you know that they're lying. It's like so barefaced, right? But then if this lying persists, it becomes so common for them that they'll lie as if they're speaking the truth.
It becomes their mask, actually.
Yeah, basically. They become Trump and Netanyahu, basically.
Yeah.
It's just barefaced lying, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing for everybody else, not only for kids. The first time you commit sin, you become restless. You know that this is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know this is not good. You know that this is not acceptable of you. But then if you commit repentance, of course, and you come back and you never commit that sin, you keep that sense of sensitivity within you, right? But if you continue doing that, then of course, it's very common. It's very, you know, it's common sense that you become numb to it.
Yeah.
And this is one of the cases we should be very, very, very careful. I think this is going to be...
Should we call it the accusing self?
Accusing self, like when you first commit the sin, you accuse yourself.
No, the thing from the inside, the voice that keeps telling us that
the inner prophet. That's how the Allama Tabatabi puts it. I think the inner prophet, because the prophets, their entire.
So we have this inner prophet, and also we have this inner devil.
Yeah, and we also have the outer prophet, outer devil. So we have both within us. So we have to be very careful as youths, especially. Because this is exactly the time where
Well, let me tell you something.
Attacks.
I think, based on my personal assessment, I do believe that people in past used to sin privately.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, because it has become a matter of notification and perhaps screenshots or posting things, it has become so normal that nobody realizes that this is a sin.
Yeah.
And again, coming back to the moral numbness, I guess... The responsibility and the mission of the 2026 youth is pretty much more difficult than the people before them, because first of all, they have to realize that this is wrong. This shouldn't happen. But even for these people, do you think after a certain time when you get used to a sin, there's a way for them to see the truth?
Oh, of course. I mean, there is no dead end when it comes to repentance. the door of repentance is always, that's something that is declared. That's something that is, you know, completely agreed upon. There is no ikhtilaf or even disagreement among the scholars in this. The door of repentance is always open. But you know what I would like to pose out? The question that's, I think, is extremely important. You mentioned something that really got me thinking. It's more easier to sin as of today. I mean, was it difficult to sin before? What I feel is the nature of the sin.
Publicly, maybe yes.
Nature of sins have changed, right? The nature, I mean, before there were some sins that you were, that's impossible to commit. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, looking at the things in social media and in the virtual world that you're not supposed to be looking. I mean, before there was no such thing as a virtual world. But would you say that if such thing existed before, it would have been different? Like our forefathers, would they approach sin differently than we have approached it?
Like if they were in our place?
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, because the situation has changed. Now the responsibilities have changed.
Mm-hmm.
In past, the thing which I told you was easier, maybe to realize what is sin and what is not a sin,
mm-hmm.
was easier. But right now, even this has become very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The line between them, the border that tells you something is a sin and some other thing is not, has been so blurred. Like maybe in order to teach your children or your youngster,
Give an example that's so close that you cannot.
Like, for example, if my sibling comes to me and tells me that, look how much money this person is making, mm-hmm. and then I tell him that this guy is making money on the basis of lying to other people.
Oh.
Or on the other people's lives,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Because who knows? They're trading some stuff that are not good. Or you know how things work. You know, mm-hmm. about the butterfly effect. So when mm-hmm. I tell him this, he may not see my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. The machi has seen it in different platforms that these people are being successful.
It becomes so common that he sees this as the avenue, as
why
a legal
she's accusing
avenue.
Them. Like, this is the normal way of making money.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not.
So norms have shifted. And I also believe that shamelessness has also been at its peak now.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is the point.
No one really cares about what happens. I mean, come on. Us as teenagers, we speak so much things so explicitly. Mm-hmm. I can remember one of my wife's family members. He was about to get married and mm-hmm. stuff. So, you know, there is in Iran, there is like a testing process whereby you have to give your blood and make sure that you're, you know, in terms of medically,
exactly.
you're healthy and stuff. So he came out and he wanted to make a joke amongst us as, you know, as a young person. He was like, oh, I don't have AIDS. And like there was his father sitting in the meeting, in that gathering as well. He was like, oh my God, you're so blunt about this and you're I mean, he was like, in our time, just taking the name of such a disease would have been an extremely shameful thing. And you're so open about this.
Yeah.
I think shamelessness is also at its peak.
Very
but
important,
does it mean that...
That's what I'm saying right now. If you scroll on different platforms, you see that people are doing wrong sins, mm-hmm. real sins, and they're so proud about it. And nobody reproaches them and nobody tells mm-hmm. them that what you're doing is wrong. And it becomes a norm.
Would this become repentance? Would this, affect repentance? Like if something becomes norm,
mm-hmm.
or if something becomes so shameless that you can speak about it explicitly among anyone, how would that affect repentance?
Of course, I would believe that it would close the door of repentance for people in a way, not from God.
Oh, from people themselves.
People themselves.
So they feel that it's no longer a sin for them in the first place for them to go and repent.
Millions of people are doing that. Why not me? Is mm-hmm. is repentance only for me?
Mm-hmm.
No, and the other people are living much more prosperously. Like, it's me who's suffering, but these people who are not considering any repentance, any moral awareness, maybe they're living better than me.
Mm-hmm. So if I see someone who is committing the same thing that I'm committing, which is a sin,
mm-hmm.
right? And not someone, rather I see an entire community. I mm-hmm. see an entire community online. I mean, it's so easy to get in touch. And becomes a norm, then I am closing the door of repentance on myself. That's my own actions. That's my own perspective. That's my own view of things. So how can we really cure this?
Well, now, this is a very good question. But I should say that we're running out of time.
Oh.
Not just running out of time in a very cool manner that we can add something to it, but unfortunately, we can have some more of discussion upon this topic, I think, in maybe future discussions in Youth Station. So far, we talked about the idea that repentance is sometimes affected by the community you're living in, by the awareness of the entire society or maybe other parts of the world. And then based on everything that we talked, we came to this conclusion that would I myself close the door of repentance? Is there any way for me to get back to that door, to open that door or not? So we have given you enough of food for your thought. We go, and then we come back with another episode of Youth Station to see if there are some other ways for us to get back to repentance, to open the door, to get back to awareness. Thank you so much. Until another episode of Youth Station, take care of yourself. I leave you to God's never-sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.